in the wilderness to the temple of the devil. When he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If I be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took his offering to the Holy City, set it upon the ceiling of the tent, made it say unto him, "If I be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." He said, "Give the angels charge concerning thee, that in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now that is our reading with the Lord's blessing. At the commencement of our Bible, we have a man in paradise. In the opening chapters of the Synoptic Gospels, we have a man, a blessed man, in the wilderness. The man in paradise, surrounded by the verdant pastures of a Garden of Eden, is dealing with tame animals. He calls them and he gives them names. The blessed man in the wilderness is surrounded by wild animals. And where the man of Genesis had dominion over creation and failed, the blessed Savior, as we have read it just now, dominion was offered to him at the hand of the devil, which he refused. The first man was tempted and sinned. This man, the second man, the Lord from heaven, was tempted and triumphed. Says the book of Genesis, "So he drove out the man." Says Mark's account of the temptation, "The Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." The tactics, if I can take up something of the spirit of the ministry yesterday, the tactics of the devil was to quote the scriptures, to handle the word of God in a deceptive way, in which case he was to doubt the scriptures. The Lord, he quoted the scriptures, and the same word of God was used to defeat the devil. We know the conclusion as far as that section of Genesis. He drove out the man. Cherubim were placed. That flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life. We read, and where we left off reading, it says of the blessed man that triumphed, that defeated the devil. Ah, yes, it says angels came and ministered unto him. In the verses that we have read together, there's a beautiful blending of his deity and of his humanity, of his work as mediator and advocate, in his priestly ministry, and we judge there is, as taken up in the epistle to the Hebrews, and the good of he who enters the court of God, as our own sympathetic high priest. He is sympathetic to those that are tried and tested. He himself, says Hebrews, having suffered, being tempted. Now that word tempted is the idea of tried, tested, proved. Not tempted to sin, but the background of the word is that piercing, that discovering, the word is of the content, that asserting of the ascertaining of the character. The blessed Savior was kept as the Lamb of God's providing from the 10th to the 14th day, not deceived, but to show that there was no blemish in him. The tempting of the Lord Jesus, be careful, bodily, mental, that trial of his soul. He knew sorrow, he knew grief, he knew poverty, he endured pain, he was misrepresented on earth, he was misquoted on earth, he was maligned on earth, he was mocked down here. And so was that blessed one, in all his glorious triumph and all the accomplishment of his work. Says the Bible, he defeated him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He delivered them who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. He arisen from the dead, having defeated the enemy with his own sword. And he has ascended to glory. He's your Savior, of thy Savior. The blessing of salvation's day, we proved that he was able to save. But as God's priest, as the one that enters the presence of God for us, I want to think of the one that's able to succor. Able to succor. Able to sustain. Able to lift us up when we're down. Able to come alongside to aid us, as we've been reminded, in the temptations of the devil, in the allurements of the world, if we take up the ministry of a former day, that we might be delivered from this present evil world, that we might be delivered from the cunning desires and wiles of the devil, that we might even know victory over that which is our own failure. There is one, says the Bible, says Hebrews chapter 13, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, able to sympathize. But says Hebrews, though I am happy with the authorized, if you're careful in its reading, says Hebrews, but he was in all points, apart from sin, tempted as we are. That's slightly different from the authorized. I'm happy with the authorized. But you know, really, just to put it very clearly, but he was in all points, apart from sin, tempted as we are. So there is one who is able to sympathize. There is one that is able to go along with. There is one that is able to suffer. And where can we go but there are not suffering saints? Where can we go, whatever generation it is, not those that are in difficulties and trials? Well, there is one. And we minister it in a positive sense that was affected similarly. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. My Savior on earth, he shed tears. We've been reminded in our hearts this morning, my dear brother, my dear sister, that he shed precious blood. He's able to succor. To sympathize with the believer in every exercise to live godly. In that positive sense, we're not talking now about that tempting to sin and failure. I judge there is sufficient for the Christian in the Scriptures to correct our path and to guide us into paths that are pleasing unto God. This is not our sins. We have the Word of God to judge us. We have the Advocate to bring about restoration. But what we're speaking about just now, and be careful about it, he is able to sympathize with the believer in every desire to live godly. And what I want to get across this afternoon in a few moments is to be able to convey to the simplest believer and the youngest believer that the blessed man that triumphed in yonder wilderness as tempted of the devil used exactly the same resources that's available to you and available to me. At his resources were 10 legions of angels. As the eternal God, at his resources, he could have dispensed with the devil with the breath of his mouth. what he used, for he was led of the Spirit of God. And he used the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. The same resources that are available for you and I. The Savior used them to defeat the temptations of the devil. You and I, saved by the grace of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God. I ask that holy paraclete, that heavenly dove, that divine visitor, is possible to grieve and quench, but I tell you, available to strengthen. And here we are this afternoon, how good it is. In this huge city that all is about us, to see those that are young in the faith, those that are maturing in the faith, those that have known the trials of home life, of assembly life, of the burdens and cares of life, still the devil is so artful. But you and I want to encourage you, with some little desire to live godly, with some little desire to live to the glory of God, there is one who has gone before, the captain of our salvation, the forerunner within the veil, the one that is the leader of many sons unto glory. We've been reminded already today, for us as a great high priest above, for us he wears the mitre where holiness shines bright. For us the robes are whiter than heaven's unsullied light. And at our disposal, the indwelling Spirit. But you know we're handling. We're handling the pages of a holy volume. As we pondered it yesterday, the Holy Scriptures, able to not only guide and preserve us, but lead us into a fuller experience of triumph over the world, the flesh, and the devil. It says here in this passage that he was led. Mark says, driven of the Spirit. Our first lesson. He was impelled of the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Do not hasten to tempt the tempter. Don't volunteer for testing. Don't trifle with what we're talking about just now. The allurements of the devil. He was led of the Spirit. A dependent man. The problem with Adam was independence. Here we see, even in the majestic pages of the Gospel of the King, he moved as a dependent man, but led of the Spirit. The temptation that Matthew's account is given in the historical order. It's given in the historical order. The wilderness, the stones, the bread. That's terrestrial. Verse 5 to 7, the temple, the pinnacle, and the angels. That's celestial. Verse 8 to 10, the mountain, and the kingdoms, and the satanic worship. That's infernal. Terrestrial, celestial, infernal. Arrayed against him, in all his beauteous perfections that we pondered already today. And the majestic power of the one that God will yet give the kingdom. Sure he will give the kingdom. I ask, but here, arrayed against them forces terrestrial, celestial, infernal. The threefold workings of the tempter, the devil, and Satan. You'll notice that he was tempted as to God's will. He was tempted as to God's way. He was tempted as to God's time. Make these stones bread. Is that God's will? The pinnacle of temple, the spectacular, is that God's way? The mountains and the kingdom will be his, but it's not God's time. Not God's time. Ah, yes, and so he is. A lesson for you and I. The ragings of the tempter, the devil, and Satan. Against that threefold opportunity of body, soul, and spirit. Arrayed against us, that threefold enemy, the flesh, the world, and the devil. Here we have one. Says John, there are three sources of trials and testing. There's the lust of the flesh. That's the bread. There's the lust of the eye. He showed him the kingdoms. There's the pride of life. That's the temple. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Thou, yes, my blessed Savior, as he is now mediator, advocate, and priest, so he was in those temptations, tempted as to turning the bread into, turning the stones into bread. The body, the bread, that's how man lives. That's the appetite, the appetite. We've been hearing in prayer already how God fed the people of God. In the wilderness, the bread. Yes, the turning of the bread, the feeding the multitude, the appetite. You remember, that's a bit like Genesis, isn't it? In the day that thou eatest thereof, that's the devil. In the day that thou eatest thereof, yes, God said, thou shalt not eat. The devil said, you will eat. The devil put into the mind of Eve that God doesn't care. Undermined any faith or trust in the provision of God. You know, distrust is sin. And the temptation here is the physical. My dear brother, my dear sister, we seem to have to preach this everywhere we go in these days. The exercise of the Christian and the exercise of the assembly is spiritual. The exercises of the assembly are spiritual. Watch the physical. Be careful about that which is just terrestrial. Oh yes, he says, man shall not live by every word. Man shall not live, verse 4, by the bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, what goes into your mouth is bread. But what comes out of God's mouth is the Word of God. That's why we're here this afternoon. Not just concerned about who be the preachers. Not just concerned with happy in the fellowship and together spending time together. But we trust today it is with around the Word of God a desire for that to feed our souls in that which is spiritual. And then the temple. The pinnacle. The spectacular. Easy way to win the nation. It had been noised abroad the spectacular sight as he casts himself down. And the ministry of the angels. It will win the multitude. Did you notice when the Savior was upon earth? He dealt with individuals. The religious man by night. The sinful woman by day. The man by the pool. The man that was cast out of the temple. The language of the Bible is a certain man. The Savior dealt with individuals. The devil would attract from without. Attract the whole nation. Do things to be seen. Do things to be heard. Be careful, dear brother, dear sister, with the acrobatics. Those things that are out of the ordinary. The spectacular things. You know, it's still the pattern, isn't it? The individual. Men of God, I judge, labored on the East Coast in a former day. They moved from here and there with exercise. Not in a spectacular way, but one or two saved there, one or two saved there. Souls gathered in one by one. And so it was as a divine pattern. Not only saved in that individual personal faith in Christ, but gathered unto his blessed name. And still we believe it where two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. Many miles from here. We had some meetings. There was only 9 in the little assembly. That night I thought we were doing well. We 18 in the meeting. I thought it was very good. But there was a man came that night. He didn't say to me, he said it to my wife. He says, you know, they're only wasting their time here. He says, look at this, there's only a handful of them. Only wasting their time. He says, you know, down in the city there, we have a big thing. There's so many people coming, and so many young people coming. We're going to have to extend the building. They're only wasting their time. Oh, there was the big thing down the road. There was the fleshy thing. There was all that appealed to the flesh. And there was a multitude going. There was the spectacular, the thing that appealed to that which was seen. Watch the man that's just wanting to be seen. Watch the man that's just wanting to promote self. That's not the way. What about the kingdoms? Ah, yes, this is not the appetite or the ambitions. This is the attraction, the attainment, the kingdoms in all their glory. The devil knew full well that he was dealing with a blessed man in the purposes of God, the true Messiah, that would have the kingdom. And the kingdom would be rightfully his. The devil offers him the kingdoms, glory without suffering and sorrow. The devil, yes, the Savior will have the kingdom. The path of suffering will come first. When he started to talk about the cross, suffering, dying in shame, Peter says, not so, Lord. The Lord dealt with the source of Peter's difficulty. The Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter learned it different. Peter learned, as he wrote it down in his epistle, the sufferings that were unto Christ and the glory that should follow. Suffering before glory. Then when the Lord was talking about going out to die on the cross, Peter says, well, if that's going to the path, if you're going to die on the cross, well, the rest might desert you, I'll go. I'll be with you. The rest might desert, but I'll be with you. Oh, Peter. Peter learned different, for one day he sat down and he penned another verse. And he said there was a man, blessed man, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Says Peter, he went alone. Says Peter, he went the path of suffering. My dear brother, my dear sister, for the Savior, after the suffering has come the splendor. After the cross has come the crown. After the tree has come the throne. It's the way to glory, but it's the way of suffering. Could we learn it? Maybe you're here a lonely widow. Maybe you're here a grieving widower. Maybe you're here with infirmity of body, trials and burdens in the family. Maybe beginning out in the experiences of life at school, at college. You're finding the world a cold place. As we've been reminded already, you're finding that all to be a battle and the devil against you. My dear brother, my dear sister, the allotment of the people of God in this life is suffering and trial, for it was the way the Savior trod. It was the way of loneliness. It was, as we've heard and said already, misquoted, maligned, misjudged, put upon the cross. My Savior was, as far as this world is concerned, put to death. It was the way of suffering unto glory. The lesson of temptations, tests and trials, and tragedies. You know, the devil always tries to make it the easy way, the spectacular way, the way that is appealing. Yes, forget about it. You know, really, Eve failed in favorable conditions. Eve was handling the fruit of paradise, and she listened to the devil. Israel themselves, 40 days into the wilderness, 40 years to wander. Yes, Israel themselves failed. Israel rose to that zenith of glory under Solomon, and they took it and cast the crown of glory at the devil's feet. Israel, the true, they rejected the true Messiah, and that nation will yet accept the man of sin and worship him. Oh, my dear brother, my dear sister, could we learn, you and I still in the battle, and still in the trials of life, the practical lessons of the temptation? He attacks where he thinks there's a weak spot. He hungered. And so we'll tempt with bread. Many of the weeks I've seen, you know. Yes, sick and sorrowing. Get down in spirit. Are you here today? You would like a little lift. The one that is able to lift is the one that comes alongside to lift us up, to stir us up when we're weary, to lift us up when we're down. Oh yes, maybe the devil has attacked a weak spot, and today, cast down and discouraged, there is one to succor and sustain. But then the devil, he plans that ascent that he might bring us down. He himself tried it. An angel of light, he was cast down. My dear brother, my dear sister, if as indwelt of the Spirit, something of the fruit of the Spirit in the life, you remember the fruit of the Spirit, meekness, temperance, self-control, may God preserve us. May God preserve us from that spirit of self-exaltation. You know what it is, the most spiritual sister in the assembly, the best preacher in the country, all that ambition to get up. My dear brother, my dear sister, happy those, and we've seen them even in this conference. Some of them labour down in the kitchen, and maybe it's only today they've been able to get up. Labour in the things of attending to the things of God, just in that simplicity. The way to serve, as we've heard at the beginning of these meetings, is at His feet. The way to find food for our soul is down at His feet. Preaching like this, you often think of a man back home. He went right up through this profession. He got right to the top. He was secondary to the minister in the government. Right to the top of his profession. But in the little assembly, they used to gather twice a year to tidy up the hall, clean up things that were about. And there was one job that he wanted to do. No one else was allowed to do it. And that was the gutters. And the gully, I don't know what you call it here. The gutter outside the hall. It was his to take off his coat and roll up his sleeve and put his hand into it. It was down. During the day he was at the top. But when it comes to the service of God, the way of humility, yes, the way of ascent to get to the top is the devil's way. He advocates the wrong way to the right end. The way the Savior would go was suffering and then glory. He appeals to the spectacular. As we referred to it already, don't be concerned about the big thing down the road. Just that two or three, the little assembly, the things of God. He adopts that spiritual rule of the spiritual advisor. Spiritual advancement. Do you remember how he began? Partake of the fruit and ye shall... Well, here I'm the devil and bring about your ruin. No, no. He says ye shall be as gods. Be as gods. You see, he's offering the angels and the kingdom and the glory as all in contrast to the cross. Have we heard it in these meetings? God forbid that I should glory, save on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which I am crucified unto the world, and the world unto me. My dear brother, my dear sister, I commend to you the blessed man. That blessed man that went to Calvary's cross is the same one that triumphed with those resources that are available to you and me, triumphed over the temptations of the devil. the devil that would attract the flesh into a path of independence of God. My dear shepherd, brother, overseeing brother in the assembly, preserve us from a path of independence from God. We can do without the spectacular. We can well do without the flesh. We'll have to get through without oratory or the vestments or anything that elevates man, but we cannot do without God. Victory over the devil. Christ conquered in a way available to the simplest believer here this afternoon. He was led of the Spirit. You and I, yes, the Holy Spirit, to lead us into that fuller exercise of communion with Him in the year 2006, that we might be preserved. And He quotes the Scriptures. I'll not dwell upon it for sake of time, but He quoted the Scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 6 through 8. He quoted from Deuteronomy the book of obedience. There is a way. It's the way of suffering. It's the way of patience. The Savior will have the kingdom, and He shall reign whose right it is. But He shows us the way of suffering, of temptation, of trial, yet triumph over the schemings of the devil at our disposal today. Yes, the indwelling part of the Spirit of God, that we might be led and led on though it be in the way of trial, the good of the one that is able to suffer, good of the one that is able to sustain, He's able to save. We're thankful the resources that are found in Him, ministered in the good of the indwelling Spirit of God. And here we are today, our brethren, we trust, will be handling the Holy Scriptures available to us in that path of obedience, that which proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that we might know Him more, serve Him better, walk in the path of humility, on trials and sufferings, knowing that like He did, the throne is His, the kingdom is His. May God help us today, that we might hear and know something of that which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. May God bless His word.